This episode is brought to you by Get Group. Learn more about secure, ISO-compliant mobile driver's licenses and sign up for a demo at getgroupna.com. Welcome to AnvaCast, bringing news, information, and expertise to the Anva community. Here's your host, Ian Grossman. Enjoy the show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the AnvaCast. I'm excited this week to welcome Tom McClellan, the administrator of the Driver and Motor Vehicle Services Division at the Oregon Department of Transportation. Tom, welcome to the AnvaCast.
Thank you very much, Ian. Appreciate it.
Tom, we've invited you here to the AnvaCast this week to talk about you, Tom McClellan, because you are preparing for an exciting life milestone. You are about to retire from not only Oregon DMV and state service, but this is the real deal retirement that you're about to go and do.
Yes, I announced it about a month or so ago internally, and the word is definitely getting out. So I am planning to retire effective the end of December.
Okay.
And my last day in the office will be probably December 18th. But yeah, it's coming very soon.
That's exciting. Why now? What made the timing right? Because a lot of people say there isn't much that's right about 2020, yet Tom's retirement of 2020 seems to be the right time for you.
Yeah, it does seem right for me. I think to a certain extent, there's a bit of a, and people have commented on this, it's kind of a legacy in a sense. I've been working on upgrading and replacing our computer systems for a very long time. And we just completed the second big rollout of our computer systems in July of this year. And we've gone through a stabilization period, and it just feels like, okay, you've reached the summit. It's probably time to think about what's next. So that's probably as much as anything for me. Just help me decide on that, the timing to be this year.
Now, timing your retirement to the end of a large IT project is somewhat poetic considering how you started at the DMV.
Yes. I came here 24 plus years ago. It's actually April 15th of 1996, precisely. And at that time, there was a major computer system replacement project underway. I was working in another state agency at the time, reading about it on the front page of the paper, but didn't realize I'd be part of it eventually. So I was brought in about the time decisions were being made about what to do next. And within about a month after I came on board at DMV, a decision was made to halt the project. A replacement of old, at that time, old mainframe computer systems that we only just recently were able to actually replace. So it is a bit, like you said, poetic that what brought me here a long time ago is actually the reason why I'm deciding to leave now, feeling like a mission accomplished in a sense.
And I want to go back even a little further because I did a little research and I understand that even more than a decade before that, you were involved in some large computer projects at the state as related to a college internship. Do I have that correct?
Boy, you really have done your research. I went to graduate school, got a master's degree at a local university here in Salem. And at the end of the, it was a two-year program, getting a master's in management. At the end of the first year, there was an internship advertised at the Oregon DMV. And I was selected as one of three interns to work that summer full-time and part-time through the second year of the master's program. So I actually did work on a vehicle system replacement project that also they canceled about a year after I left and started my own career somewhere else. So yeah, it goes back even further than that. That was 1983, 84. Yeah,
wow.
A long time ago.
I guess it's must have been exciting to watch that technology evolve from 1983 to 2020 and how the face of the technology in the DMV has changed.
Oh, so much. Things were still kind of cutting edge at that time. Client server was a new big thing at the time. Everything was build to suit. long periods of time to define your requirements, to build, construct something, test it, and then roll it out. By the time you rolled it out, all your requirements had already changed. If you were successful in completing and installing it, to now much more a commercial off-the-shelf type of an approach. Mm-hmm. A lot of the stuff has already been built, and all you're doing is configuring it to meet your specific needs. It really lowers the risk and increases the likelihood of success. So it's a better time to be doing major computer system replacement projects like we just finished.
Now, in the 80s, were you studying to work in the IT field? Was that your intended path that you wanted to work in?
No, for me, it was a master's in management program I was in, and at a school that allowed either public, private, or not-for-profit careers. And for me, it was, I had some interest in nonprofit management, but it was more the public sector. I wanted to work for a government agency. And my first job out of the master's program was with a local county government in Southern Oregon, and did that for about a year before I started working for the state. So I decided early on it was going to be a government job. It wasn't specifically an IT type field. Mm-hmm. I had interest in, you know, like a chief financial officer kind of a role, a lot of mm-hmm. budget and accounting type experience that I had, but just picked up the IT experience over time in different jobs that I had.
And when you first switched from the county to the state, you didn't start with ODOT at the time. You worked in other parts of the state before finding your way back, I guess we can say, to where the internship started at the DMV.
Yeah, I did come back and work for a central. It was an IT organization, actually, that brought me to the state. And I worked as an analyst for about a year before being offered a job as a budget analyst in the state budget office, which I did for 8 or 9 years. Went to the employment department after that, worked there for about a year and a half, and then got that fateful call in April of 1996. Would you be willing to go to the Oregon DMV for a 3 to 6 month assignment? That I never left after that 3 to 6 month assignment. So people have referred to that as my Gilligan's Island experience.
So how does that turn into from starting in that IT project? Walk us through how that grows in 1996. I think the next milestone is you start to become responsible for more program management, say, in the early 2000s.
Yeah, that initial assignment in 1996 was converted into a permanent position in a new group that we formed called IT Services, to be as an interface really to our information systems professionals and the business of running DMV. It's a new group that was formed. I was asked to lead it and did that for several years. And then one of my peers in the organization left, who was over our program and policy area, vehicle and driver and dealer policy and program management responsibilities. I volunteered to also be responsible for that group, and we merged the two groups together, the IT group, IT services group, and the program services group into a single group that I also led for several years. After about 7 or 8 years there, I did a 3 or 4 month stint as the acting DMV administrator while my boss at the time took another assignment elsewhere in our agency, and then she came back. And a couple of years later, she actually left permanently for another job, and I became the interim DMV administrator 13 years ago, November of 2007.
Except you're not interim anymore.
No, I've passed through that phase. Yes.
So, and how does that happen? How do you get the call? At least in Oregon, does the governor call you up and say, "Tom, want you to take on this role?" Is it the director of the transportation department? How does it work there in Oregon?
It's really the latter. It's a position that's within our Department of Transportation, similar to other states, not every state, obviously, but sure. Our DMV is part of the Oregon Department of Transportation. So the person hiring me at the time was the director of ODOT, who offered me the job. The 4 month period that I was the interim, just leading to the permanent position, was really a trial by fire period for us. Within a week after I said yes, I would do the interim assignment, our governor signed an executive order putting a legal presence, you know, requirement in place for the state. And so that was a major change for us. That up to that point, it didn't matter if the person was documented or undocumented. Anyone could apply as long as they could prove who they were and would be issued a driver's license or an ID card. So that's another one that's gone a complete circle for me.
And from 1996 through becoming administrator, when does the word AMVA first come across your desk? Do you remember the kind of the first time you became aware of the larger community of your DMV brothers and sisters?
I think it was around 1998 or 99. I hadn't actually been with DMV all that long. I have a plaque on my wall that I'm looking at right now that is thanking me for being the IT committee chairperson for Region 4 in 2002 to 2004. And I know I was on that group at least 2 years before they asked me to chair it. So that's kind of where I kind of time box my experience with AMVA. It goes back a long ways.
And you started attending the conferences, meeting other folks across the different jurisdictions. And you quickly became involved. We don't have time even on this podcast to go through all the committees and working groups and boards that you've served on over the years.
Yeah, there have been quite a few. Even the editorial board for the newsletter. I even did that for a while.
And I think you were one of the first members I met when I joined AMVA, because at the time, the now defunct Government Affairs Committee. I think you did a stint on that.
Right. Yeah, I served on several different committees and work groups over the years. The Finance, Investment, and Audit Committee, it feels like I've been on that forever. But I was treasurer for 1 year and led the group, but have been on and still am on that group representing Region 4. It was a good opportunity to use some of my experience and skills, but also to make a positive contribution to the association.
And you served as Region 4 president and had the opportunity, of course, to host us out in Portland 1 year.
Yeah, that was the summer of 2016, I think. So about 4 years ago, had the pleasure of hosting a conference in our great city of Portland. And it was a very successful conference and really enjoyed that experience. So it's nice to see people coming from other parts of the country and seeing vendors as well and giving them an opportunity to see our state. I was surprised how many had never been to Oregon before. So it was great.
Yeah, it was my first visit out there as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now I know through that environment and being involved with so many of the parts of AMVA, we talk a lot about the relationships and friendships that have been built over the years. What are some of the ones that come to mind when you think about, wow, I can't believe if not for AMVA, I would have never built this connection with fill in the blank.
Yeah, so many. So many people that I've gotten to know really well over the years. Many are no longer, you know, working in their current job. So, thinking through some of the folks that have come and gone over the years.
Well, I know that because he's our current chair of the board, I've observed you seem to have developed a wonderful connection with Mike Dixon, and maybe you haven't, and it's just your wife and his wife that really seem to enjoy each other's company.
That has actually been very true. In fact, my wife asked me the other day, how come you didn't invite me to AMVA conferences the first few years? It just recently you told me about these great conferences and all these great people I've gotten to meet. And I said, no, it was a business trip. She goes, well, there's also some fun that goes along with those business trips. So, you mentioned Mike Dixon. Mike is one of the ones that I've really gotten to know well and really gotten to appreciate him and his leadership skills. He's a very impressive individual and a fantastic leader in Colorado. Mm-hmm. And we've, checked in with each other periodically and run some things by each other as well. So it's been nice to kind of a sounding board from time to time about issues that we're dealing with. They were ahead of us a few years with the contract with FAST and replacing our computer systems. And so many lessons learned that we picked up from his experience in their state.
Yeah, and I know we were joking about your wife wanting to come, but you know, folks have gotten to know you, have gotten to know Leanne as well over the years. Is she looking forward to your retirement, or is there Tom's going to be home more now?
Yeah, interesting. She seems to be looking forward to it. I did actually time my retirement for our 34th wedding anniversary.
Ah, congratulations!
Yeah.
Exciting.
Yeah. So, I think she's definitely looking forward to it. We have three grandkids, currently in California, but preparing to move to Arizona, to Eric Jorgensen's neck of the woods. And so they're young. So, having an opportunity to spend more time with them is definitely in our future.
That's great.
And this will provide more of that opportunity that we haven't had before. Mm-hmm. My wife did work for the school district for many years. She retired actually last year from the school district. And so we're now a little more free to do some traveling and see family and do some things we wanted to do for a long time.
Well, I'm excited that you can do it where you've got so many years left ahead of you to enjoy it. I think that's the key for retirement, is to do it while you're young enough to enjoy it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, over the years on the side, I've done some nonprofit leadership management type things. Definitely working with AMVA as a nonprofit has given me a lot of experience, insights, to see how it's really supposed to be done. AMVA's on the larger side of nonprofits and much more sophisticated than most. But that's actually something I've considered in retirement, maybe a part-time executive director of a nonprofit. Locally, it might be something in my future. So just to continue contributing to our community and the people who live in our state. And I think I still have a few more things to share and skills that I can use. So
Yeah. That
is something I'm definitely considering as I look into retirement.
Are there specific topics or issue areas or subject areas that you tend to be drawn to that you like to be engaged with beyond transportation, of course?
Yeah, and part of this is my parents and my mother right now. My father's passed away, but my mother's very active in a food pantry in the southern part of our state. And I think food pantries probably have something touched my heart a little bit as far as helping people in that area. So there's potentially something there. Definitely helping people that are underprivileged in some way has always been something that strikes a chord with me, making sure that people have access and opportunity to services and life experiences. And so, two of the nonprofits that I did work with, one was a middle school basketball program in this community that we all pretty much started and operated for many years. And the other was a church camp conference center at the base of Mount Hood that I was the chair of for probably 6 or 7 years. And again, just helping kids in this case have an opportunity to do things that they wouldn't otherwise be able to do.
Mm, that's fantastic.
So, yeah.
Now, are you originally from Oregon or the Salem area, or are you a transplant from somewhere else?
Born and bred in Oregon.
Okay.
Lived here my entire life, yes. In a number of towns that you've never heard of.
Well, it's interesting that you're out there in Oregon, and of course now everybody is working remotely, or even if they're in their office, they're certainly not doing any of that other traveling that we're used to. But okay. I remember that there were some years there where when everyone else could travel, you couldn't. You had some travel restrictions, and I think long before any of us spent our days on Zoom and Teams and go-to meetings, we had many an AMVA meeting where most of the people would be in the room, but there was Tom, tried and true, logged in in front of his computer on the webcam, but before it was fashionable to do so.
I was ahead of my time.
You were. And getting up early for an East Coast meeting when it was, 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning out there.
Absolutely. And I think without fail, I wore a dress shirt and a tie, at least on the top half.
Again, ahead of your time, top half
exactly.
only.
Exactly.
But not only that, Tom, I'd have to give you some credit because not only shirt and tie, you, I've observed and appreciated, are not afraid to wear color. And I know that sounds silly, but you don't always see that in men's fashion. You are willing to wear bold colored shirts and ties, and I have always appreciated that.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think I've ever worn a bow tie, but I have experimented with some different colors. Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah, you'll go with the reds and the yellows and the brighter colors. So I guess, though, back on a more business content note, as you look back over, you know, the years, particularly, you know, the years as administrator or just before becoming administrator, there are so many big items that started around the time you were moving into management. You know, NMVITIS was at its birth. Mm-hmm. The Real ID Act, you know, just being stood up. So many other things that have consumed the community kind of started right around where you were moving into a management and leadership role. As you begin to move into retirement, words of wisdom, lessons learned that others could take from your experience.
Yeah, because technology has just continued to explode and expand in the capabilities that it's going to offer in the future. Just the pace is just continuing to increase. A word of advice, I guess, is never forget the people side of a technology project. Ensuring that your employees are adequately prepared for that transition. And it's not just about training on the new tools. It's preparing them mentally for a different way of doing their jobs in the business of your organization. That you've got to continue to really pay a lot of attention to that. In any kind of a transformation that you're making or introduction of new technology in particular. So I would say that's one piece of advice, something that we've certainly paid a lot of attention to here in Oregon over the last few years, investing in, you know, change management, change leadership, preparing peers to help their peers elsewhere in the organization, give them a little bit of training, give them a little support, provide them that opportunity to help others through the changes that are coming. That'd be a big part for me. And then constantly looking out to the private sector as far as new ways of doing business, because those eventually, if they aren't already, are gonna be in the public sector. We're a little slower to adopt newer technologies and, you know, cutting edge type things. We like tried and true things. It's better for our careers when we do that. But just keeping an eye out for what is happening externally, especially in industries that have some relevance to a motor vehicle agency like ours, where it's more retail oriented. What are insurance companies doing? What's the banking, the financial industry doing? What can we learn from them in their operation of call centers and the technologies that are available there? And then not being afraid to, you know, plagiarize things, you know, to take something from some other jurisdiction and apply it in yours. I've talked to many peers over the years who've done that very thing. They know that there's others around that are smarter, willing to take some risks and be trailblazers to a certain extent in trying new things. Take advantage of what they've done. Learn from what others have done and see how you can make it work within your own jurisdiction. So those are just a few things, I guess.
Yeah, no, that's very helpful. Tom, I can't thank you enough for what you've done for the AMVA community over your career. You know, we talked about the committees and the working groups, but having observed firsthand your role on the Region 4 board, your role on the International Board of Directors, the year you served as treasurer, if you are able to get that part-time job as an executive director at that local nonprofit, they are going to be so lucky to have you, because your approach to supporting the mission while being both fiscally responsible, but mm-hmm. also wise about understanding you gotta spend money to get a return on benefit. And you just gotta be smart how you do it. Just your ability to balance those competing priorities and provide that input to our organization has been invaluable. And I know that hopefully somebody's going to be lucky enough to have you do it for them.
I appreciate that, Ian. Thank you very much. AMVA has been such a very important, valuable resource to our organization. We're so dependent upon, the technologies that are offered, but also the subject matter expertise that you guys have to be able to put a survey out there and get some information from other jurisdictions, to reach out to a staff person at AMVA. What have other states done? The papers, the working groups that have been set up, those are all so valuable to a state motor vehicle agency. And I picked up on that very early, very quickly, that it was an organization that I wanted to be a part of, that I could provide some contributions, but saw that there'd be a whole lot more that our organization would gain from that experience than what I would actually provide, to AMVA itself. So we've benefited so much over the years with my involvement and then others in this organization being in key roles, through the years. So it's been a great experience for me, but it's also been a developmental opportunity, for our organization and many of our staff people here.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, Tom, we're going to miss you being around on a regular basis. I'll look forward to the return to conferences and events so that when we have a Region 4 conference, hopefully we'll see you up there on the breakfast table for the past presidents of Region 4, and we'll be able to reconnect and hear your stories of times with your grandkids, your travels with Leanne, and hopefully a very long, healthy, and happy retirement.
I appreciate that very much. Thank you very much. I do look forward to those conferences.
And thank you all for tuning in for this episode of AmvaCast. I want to thank our producer, Claire Jeffrey, and we'll see you next time. Stay well, everyone.
Thank you for joining us for AmvaCast, hosted by Ian Grossman, produced by Claire Jeffrey, music by Gibson Arthur. This episode has been brought to you by Get Group. Visit us at amvacast.podbean.com and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify.